We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Chicago Bears select.
Welcome to Picks for Polls, presented by The Bear Report. Your number one source for everything Chicago Bears draft news, analysis, scouting reports, and more. Presented by Blue Wire Pods. And now, making their way to the podium, Andrew Freeman and Usaid Koshal.
Welcome to Picks for Polls, a Chicago Bears draft podcast presented by The Bear Report and Blue Wire Pods. My name is Andrew Freeman, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Usaid Koshal. We're recording this episode on Sunday, April 21st, just a few days away from the start of the 2024 NFL Draft. And it's draft week, Usaid, so there's going to be a ton of rumors flying around over the next few days, which I am so excited for. Not really, but I am excited for the draft itself, and we have a special episode today as we're going to be doing a full first-round mock draft for the 2024 NFL Draft. We're going to be representing every single team in the first round. So I'm really excited to get to this recording today. Before we get started, Usaid, how are you doing today, man?
Yeah, man, I'm doing well. You're right. You know, it's incredibly exciting because it just seems like this year there is so much more than ever that appears to be going on. And again, I'm not just talking about, you know, the Bears having two first-round picks, but from a Bears perspective, but then you also kind of look at the rumors flying around when it comes to the fourth and fifth overall picks. You kind of look at, you know, the chaos ensuing with the Vikings. There's a couple AFC teams that are picking right there in the mid-teens that you could make the legitimate argument that maybe they want to trade up because eventually someone needs to build a roster that's going to catch up to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, or at least be somewhat close to it. So it's, again, it's, you know, just a really exciting time of year.
Yeah, it is incredibly exciting. I can't wait for the draft to get here. I can't wait to do our little mock draft right here. It's going to be interesting because I know both of us kind of have different opinions on what teams should be doing at each pick. So it's going to create some chaos here, I'm sure. And we're going to have to do some thinking on the fly. Now, you know, for this mock draft, the purpose of this, how it's going to work is that we're going to be alternating the control of each draft slot. So I'm generally going to be taking the odds. Usaid is going to be generally taking the evens, with an exception of the first pick, because we're pretty much assuming that Caleb Williams is going to be the pick at number one. So there's not a ton of analysis to be done there. So we're just kind of going to breezily get through that, but we are going to be including trades in this mock draft as well, which should make things quite interesting, and that'll change things up certainly for a lot of the different draft slots. So with that, all that said, let me bring up the simulator. We're using the PFF mock draft simulator for this, and without further ado, you say let's get into it right away, because I'm sure we have a long road ahead of us as we get through this thing. So let's start the draft and let's just get number one out of the way right now. Caleb Williams, I don't think there's too much to discuss here. I mean, we've been presuming that's going to be the pick for basically the last few months now. It's pretty much locked in. And the Bears aren't really hiding it at this point. Ryan Poles, whenever he's talked to anybody in the media, he's not really hiding their intention. Caleb Williams, you know, isn't really hiding the fact that the Bears have pretty much told him he's the pick. So that's the pick at number one. If you got anything else to add, you say it, go ahead and add it. But otherwise, that gets you to number two overall, where the Washington Commanders have an interesting decision ahead of them here.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this regarding Caleb Williams and the Bears. I mean, you know, we've talked about this decision for months, and this is where, you know, everybody in the building is finally kind of on the clock too, because they have their own guy at quarterback now. There's no longer going to be the, well, the previous quarterback that was here, the quarterback that we have isn't our own. He was kind of a leftover from the previous regime. So to me, you know, when you take the moment that you give the card to Roger Goodell and he steps to the podium and says, hey, it's Caleb Williams for the Bears. I mean, to me, that signals, and I know this is a bit of an extreme, but it signals Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham, along with Matt Eberflus, well, you guys are officially on the clock too, because in 3 years' time, we're either going to look at this and the 2023 offseason, which allowed the Bears to kind of get Caleb Williams as the one that changed this franchise, or we're going to look at it as the most overhyped but also most disappointing one in franchise history. Now, with number two overall, I mean, you know, in the summer, as in August 2023, I probably would have told you it's Drake May. This time, I do think it's going to be Jaden Daniels. I think you look at Adam Peters, the general manager for the Washington Commanders, and you kind of look at where he's at in terms of the types of quarterbacks that he likes. He certainly was in San Francisco for when they drafted Trey Lance. And so here I think they go with a very similar player and a guy that Cliff Kingsbury genuinely is vested in as well. Not that, you know, well, I believe Kingsbury's in Washington.
Yeah, Kingsbury is in Washington. So, wow, Jaden Daniels at number two. I think he is the betting favorite. I could be wrong to go number two to Washington. Now, there's been some drama going on over the past week or so. They had that, I think it was like a Topgolf meeting they had, where they had all the quarterback prospects, besides Caleb, basically, all met with the Commanders. They went to, you know, all hang out with the team, executives, and all that stuff. And I guess like Jaden Daniels' agent wasn't too big of a fan of that. So I don't know if he's just like putting pressure on Washington to, you know, commit to Daniels right now as the guy at number two, or what's going on there. But yeah, it is still expected that Daniels is going to be the pick at number two, which is wild for me, because as we get to number three here at the Patriots, like if I'm the Patriots, like this is like the perfect outcome. Because you get the second best quarterback prospect, at least in my opinion, in the entire draft year, and Drake May just falls into your lap. You know, I think if it would have been Daniels on the board and May would have gone to number two to the Commanders, I think you look to trade down there and see if you know, a quarterback needy team or a quarterback desperate team like the Vikings, like we talked about earlier, or the Raiders, who has that connection with Jaden Daniels, with Antonio Pierce being on that Arizona State staff when Jaden Daniels was there a few years ago. But if you're the Patriots, man, you get your quarterback right here at number three overall. No trade downs, and now we have quarterbacks at one, two, three overall. And yeah, I mean, I think it's just like the perfect scenario for New England. Like they didn't have to do anything to get their guy, and now they're set up with their quarterback of the future. They still have a lot of needs on that roster, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But you got to feel good with the quarterback of the future. That gets you number four with the Arizona Cardinals. And you say, I think there's a couple different avenues that the Cardinals can go here. Obviously, they can stay at number four and take Marvin Harrison Jr., but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of teams looking to trade up for, you know, quarterback in that for number four spot, presumably J.J. McCarthy. So what are you going to have the Cardinals do? Do you think there are any teams interested in moving up here?
I mean, I think there are going to be teams that are interested in moving up. And again, you've got Kyler Murray there. You don't really have much of anything on offense. And guess what? You've got 4-27 in the first round, but you've also got four other picks after that, including 3 third-rounders. So you're well stocked with draft capital to have 6 picks in the top 100 as a result of a lot of the trades they made last year. And again, I know that there's a bit of smoke here in terms of, well, Arizona could potentially move out of the 4th overall selection. Same thing with the Chargers at 5. But I think ultimately Arizona, when it's all said and done, they decide to stick at fourth overall and take Marvin Harrison Jr. And why? Because you're looking for the next best thing at wide receiver. You are looking for someone who, again, is going to help Kyler Murray's career get back on track. And to me, I mean, you've committed big money to Kyler Murray as a franchise. And so that's why I think MHJ is going to be the pick.
Yeah, they absolutely need to get number one wide receiver there. They're in a golden opportunity to get that number one guy. Like you said, they have a ton of draft capital already. Now, I will say, you know, Monty Osmond, GM for the Cardinals, has shown in the past, like last year in his first draft, that he is willing to wheel and deal and move up and down the board and, you know, do a lot of exchange of picks here. So I would not be surprised if they do look to trade down, if they really get a nice offer for that number four pick. But you also don't want to get too cute, right? Because they could move down with the intention maybe of moving back up to get a receiver. You never know if a team's going to be willing to move back down, you know, with you as well. So, you know, that's all. That's always a part of this as well. Like, can they move back up to get a receiver if they end up do getting a haul to move back down? That's not a guarantee, right? So I do think, you know, them staying at number four overall to get Marvin Harrison Jr., who's, you know, probably the best non-quarterback in this year's draft. Best wide receiver on the board, get Kyler Murray number one target. I think that makes a lot of sense. That brings me to number five with the Chargers here. Now, what am I going to do? So Marvin Harrison Jr. is off the board. You know, I think the Chargers under Harbaugh, I don't think they're going to take wide receiver this high. I think they want to build this thing, this, you know, regime in the trenches. And Joe Hortz, their GM, coming from his background in Baltimore, I think he knows the value of having a stockpile of draft picks to work with and trading down. So I think the Chargers are going to look to trade down here with the intention of making a draft pick in the trenches, whether it's on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball, and addressing wide receiver later. Now, there it does happen to be a team that will be interested in moving up here, and that's going to be the Minnesota Vikings. So I'm going to have the Minnesota Vikings. They're going to give up 11. And 23, which is a little bit of an overpay, but in exchange, Chargers are going to give them back a third. Can they get us another first round pick in there? I don't think so. Maybe an extra third round pick in next year's draft to kind of even things out a little bit. But with the Chargers going to get here, basically getting an extra first round pick this year and then an extra third round pick in the next year's draft. And then maybe as just like a sweetener, the Vikings give up an extra fourth round pick in this year's draft. So we're going to go with that haul for the Chargers. And the Vikings, they're going to move up and they're going to get, where is he? JJ McCarthy. Right here, number five overall. But we've gotten a lot of smoke that JJ McCarthy is higher, that the NFL is higher on JJ McCarthy than maybe a lot of the draft Twitter community is. And you know, it makes a lot of sense, especially with the Vikings here, where, you know, they have a good infrastructure. Whether you look at the offensive line, you know, having the play caller in place with Kevin O'Connell, and then the wide receivers, obviously, with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, they have the infrastructure to support a young quarterback like JJ McCarthy. They don't necessarily have to throw him out there right away with Sam Darnold on the roster, who they signed in free agency. And JJ McCarthy is a really good fit with what I think Kevin O'Connell wants to do in offense, where they're going to run that, you know, McVay Shanahan style play action, and then do middle of the field crossing routes off the play action, attack the middle of the field. JJ McCarthy is super good at attacking the middle of the field. He's very willing at attacking the middle of the field off of play action. I think he's a really good fit for that. Good athlete, strong arm. I think he has a lot of the traits that this front office, this regime has kind of been looking for under Kwezi, and Kwezi finally makes his move, right? This is why they traded for that extra first round pick to get in the conversation, to get a top quarterback in this year's draft. And now they make that big move, getting into the top five to get that guy. And they leapfrog the Giants, who there is some smoke out there that they may like JJ McCarthy at number six overall. So Chargers get themselves a haul here to get down the board, get some extra draft picks this year and next year, and Vikings moving up here to get their quarterback.
Yeah, and that's certainly, you know, a scenario that I think has to play out, because again, if you're the Minnesota Vikings, you're actually hoping a team like the Cardinals or the Chargers wants to go ahead and trade out. When Thursday night's all said and done, I ultimately do think the Vikings find themselves in that four, five, seven, or eight range, to be fully honest. But with the sixth overall pick, I mean, the Giants have this massive need for weapons. They've been linked to Malik Nabers for months. I do think they ultimately end up going with Malik Nabers. Yes, they have an offensive line. You know, you look at once McCarthy, May, Daniels, and Williams are off the board, I mean, the next best quarterback prospects are Bo Nix and Michael Penix, which again would just be not the smartest move. So I think they go with a game-breaking wide receiver to kind of see if Daniel Jones can get his career back on track. I mean, you ultimately look at him, he's really had one good year of production. It's just been a situation where, you know, number one, he's never really had the infrastructure around him. But number two, you look at it and you kind of begin to say, okay, you know what? We need to add more to the passing game because we've mishandled that aspect of our offense dearly.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. So now it gives me number seven for Tennessee Titans. I think this is pretty self-explanatory right here, right? You invested at wide receiver in the offseason. You got an offensive center to work with here. And the name's escaping me, the center from Denver that they signed. But they got to keep on adding to this offensive line here. They got to get a tackle. They desperately need some tackle help here. The Titans, they had the worst offensive line in the NFL last year. I think Joe Alt's the pick for them to be the left tackle and kind of solidify the left side of the offensive line. Because you have Peter Skoronski, who they drafted in the first round last year, who's your left guard. Now that left side, left tackle through center, looks pretty solid here, I think, for Will Levis behind him, working behind that offensive line. You have Calvin Ridley. You have DeAndre Hopkins to throw to. You're giving your young quarterback a chance to at least, if not develop, at least show whether he's the guy or not next year, which I think is the second most important thing.
You're right. It absolutely is. And onto the eighth overall pick. I mean, this one, I'm not even going to lie to you. I go back and forth here because part of me says, okay, well, what are the Atlanta Falcons going to do? You know, they don't really need a quarterback. They've been linked to a lot of these pass rushers. You could go ahead and make an argument for Udunze or Brock Bowers, but I ultimately look at this and say, irrespective of the PFF rankings, just based on straight up prospect to prospect, I would not be surprised to see them go ahead and swing for the fences and take Dallas Turner from Alabama, you know, really add some juice to that offensive line. I'm sorry, the defensive line, in terms of just being a guy that can consistently get after the passer, plays with a high motor, and really just covets what Raheem Morris, the head coach, is looking for in a defensive player.
Yeah, I think that makes too much sense for the Falcons, right? And I think Dallas Turner, I think he's the betting favorite to be the first pass rusher off the board, or first defensive player off the board. You know, he's 21 years old, so he's a young player who's really developing and coming into his own as a player. He's got the athletic traits, the physical traits you're looking for, and he produced last year. He was a productive player in his last year in college at Alabama. He's shown consistent development throughout his time at Alabama. So I think that makes a lot of sense for the Falcons to go in that direction, give Raheem Morris a young pass rusher to mold and to kind of develop. And I think it's a good decision right there for the Falcons. It makes a lot of sense, at least, I should say. All right. Now I'm here with the Bears. What do I do here? Do I take Roma Dunze, who is staring at me at the board, top player available, top wide receiver available, make an absolute awesome trio of wide receivers with Adunze, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen to throw to? That's really enticing, I think. Really enticing. Or do I look to trade down here, look to get some extra draft capital, and continue to add, you know, maybe address other positions of need and let the board fall to me? Oh, man, this is tough. I think I'm going to piss off a lot of Bears fans here. We're going to trade down. And I'm doing this. I'm 50-50 on this. You know, I think that personally I lean towards picking the wide receiver in Roma Dunze, but I think Ryan Poles, with the way that he's thinking right here, I think he wants to add more draft picks. So the team I'm going to be trading down with is going to be New Orleans Saints at 14 overall. And what they're going to do is we're going to swap the New Orleans Saints second round pick at 45 for the Bears third round pick at 75. And the Saints are going to give me an extra fifth round pick. They have 4 fifth round picks this year. So I think they'll be willing to part with at least one of them to make this work. And the Saints, they're going to come up here and they're going to draft Olufoshinu out of Penn State. Top left tackle still on the board. The Saints desperately need to address left tackle. Mickey Loomis in the past has shown that he is willing to trade up and be aggressive in trading up to if there's a guy that he identifies as a guy he wants to draft. And Olufoshinu, he's the best pass protecting left tackle in this draft class. You know, he's got some other deficiencies in his game, but as a pure pass protector, this guy, he screams Laremy Tunsil as a prospect in terms of maybe not the best run blocker, but he's just going to be a shutdown pass protecting left tackle for about a decade here. And the Saints, they desperately need that, right? Because the Trevor Penning experience has not worked out. Ryan Ramczyk, it looks like he's going to be out for, if not most of next year, maybe all of next year with, you know, injuries that have been lingering on. They desperately need to get a tackle in here. And Olufoshinu, he's the best tackle left on the board, in my opinion. I think he's a great fit for what they want to do. They got to protect Derek Carr and pass pro. Olufoshinu can be the pick at number 9. I'm sorry, Bears fans. You're not getting Roma Dunze, unfortunately, at least not in this mock draft. At number 9 overall, he's going to go to – he's going to be left on the board for the number 10 overall, which is the New York Jets. So you say it's going to be up to you. Odunze, Bowers, there's some options here for the Jets now, number 10.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I saw some reports saying that if Aaron Rodgers really wants Brock Bowers, then the Jets would go out and figure out a way to get him. You know, with this 10th overall selection here, I've kind of had the Jets trading up for an offensive tackle. I've had them staying put. I've had them trading back. But I'm going to go ahead and say that they take Brock Bowers. You look at that wide receiver core they have there, led by Garrett Wilson. Again, it looks pretty good to me. You go ahead and get your dynamic slot receiver slash hybrid wide tight end, a guy in the middle of the field who's going to stretch defenses. It's going to open things up for Garrett Wilson tremendously. And now we've got Roma Dunze on the clock. And I think for the Chargers, you've got this phenomenal scenario in front of you.
Oh, man. So you're leaving Odunze to the Chargers. Do the Chargers even want Odunze? That's going to be the big thing to consider here. Man, you know what? I think if you're the Chargers here and you're sitting here, I don't think you even consider Odunze being on the board for you at 11. So that makes things really interesting because there was a player that I was targeting for the Chargers when I made that trade down, and now I'm not too sure about that. I'm going to stick with the plan here because I just think that this is the way that Harbaugh and Greg Roman are thinking here. This is the way that Orr's thinking about here, addressing this offensive line. I could be wrong. I'm going to go with J.C. Latham out of Alabama. Addressing that offensive line, which they need, you know, a long-term solution at right tackle. And they just need to beef up that unit in general for Justin Herbert to work around. You know, they have that extra first-round pick where they could address wide receiver. I think they'll be intrigued by a lot of the guys that will be available in the late first round and early second round. But, yeah, I mean, I think Odunze is probably the better player, but The Chargers, they may view things differently. I really do think they want to build this thing through the trenches, and I don't think they're going to invest in a wide receiver early because I think they know that wide receiver in that offense with Greg Roman, it's not necessarily the most valuable position because they want to run the ball. And with J.C. Latham, he gives you the opportunity to run the ball more as a, you know, absolute mauler in the run game and a guy who's going to give you that anchor and pass protection to keep pockets clean for Justin Herbert. So, yeah, it's amazing. I don't know if this is going to play out in the actual NFL draft, but Odunze's sitting there for the Broncos now. You say, does Rumo Odunze, does the slide stop for Odunze here at number 12 with the Broncos? What do you think, you said?
It is tough to say. I don't, you know, you've heard, I think, yeah, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler tweeted out saying, hey, listen, they're looking for wide receivers. Again, if I had to really bet about who trades up to that ninth overall pick, I'd say it's either going to be Denver, Las Vegas, or New Orleans. Again, that ninth overall trade has already happened. But I do think that if you're Sean Payton, I mean, you can never underestimate truly having enough elite weapons. So I would go ahead and say that they pass on Rome Odunze. And again, I've said that Sean Payton wants his elite weapons, but I do think that Denver here says, hey, we want to crank up the pass rush. We're going to finally move past, you know, the Von Miller, Bradley Chubb era. Let's go ahead and let's make Jared Verse the pick here because we need someone to get after the quarterback. And I say that simply because you ultimately kind of look at this whole thing and you ultimately kind of start to say, well, they weren't really good on defense last year, but the offense was their true Achilles heel, and they're probably going to build up the infrastructure around the quarterback before they can go ahead and start talking about actually drafting a guy. And I will say this too. I mean, as good as Odunze is, pass rusher is arguably a much bigger need for you.
Wow. I did not expect Odunze to fall this far in this mock. This is fun. Okay. Well, the Odunze slide is stopping here. The Raiders don't need a wide receiver, but I have a team that is going to need a wide receiver here trading up. And that's going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars moving up from 17 to 13. There's a couple wide receiver needy teams with the Bears, the Colts coming up here. And Jacksonville, they lost Calvin Ridley in free agency this year. So they desperately need to get that wide receiver one back on the roster here. So give me a second. I need to address the draft chart here to figure this out. All right. So 13 to 17, that's a difference. I'm going off the Jimmy Johnson chart, about 200 points in difference here. So how would that work? How am I going to make this work? Okay. So I'm going to have Jacksonville give up their second round pick, about 420. Las Vegas Raiders are going to exchange their third round pick. You know, it doesn't quite match up, but we don't have time to do math here on this episode here. We'll just make the trade. Jacksonville's going to move up to get their guy. And that's going to be Rome Odunze at number 13 overall. The Odunze slide stops right here. The Bears had their chance. They had a chance to get Odunze a second time go around there, but Jacksonville Jaguars trading up in front of him to steal him from the Bears. So now the Bears are left with 14 overall. Where are you going, Usaid?
Yeah, so I am going to just real quick adding this on regarding Rome Odunze. I mean, if you're Jacksonville, it's a perfect scenario for you. You're going to have to trade up because you're looking at this and you're saying, hey, you know, we missed the playoffs in 2023. We need to do whatever we can to keep pace with a lot of these teams with these elite quarterbacks. I look at 14th overall and, you know, cornerbacks completely off the board for me. Leetu Latu, again, not necessarily a guy that I think can fit into this defense, but I have questions about his medicals. So I'm going to go ahead and say that the Bears actually trade out of 14th overall and we get a double trade down here and it's Cincinnati moving up here for the rights to go ahead and swing big on drafting Leetu Latu. And I think it's going to be 14 for 18 and 115 is what I think it'll be. Andrew, you're on mute.
Give me a second here. I'm addressing the churches to make sure we got this accurate. Okay, 115 is about 64. Again, I'm not trying to do too much math here. Okay, that might be a little bit light. You know what? I'll bump that up to the Bengals' third round pick. We'll go with that. Sound good?
All right. Yep, sounds good.
And they're taking Latu.
Yep.
All right. Oh, my gosh. This is going in a bunch of directions that I did not expect here. So now I'm looking at this here with the Colts. Man, so all three edge rushers are off the board here. Oh, man. So the Colts, there are two options, I think, here for them. Do you go with cornerback? I know they invested a lot of draft capital in cornerback in the last year's draft. So, you know, are they willing, you know, to let the young guys develop there? Or did they go with a guy like Kenyon Mitchell, who I think is the best cornerback in this year's draft? Terron Arnold would make a lot of sense, I think. Or wide receiver is a big need for them as well. I know they just signed Pittman to an extension. They have Josh Downs. But, you know, they haven't really gotten a lot of contributions out of Alec Pierce in terms of consistent contributions. They still need that big outside deep threat on the outside. It can just be a playmaker for them to match with Anthony Richardson. I'm going to lean there, and I'm going to have the Colts go on offense here, get Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. I think he fits perfectly for that role as that outside vertical threat wide receiver. Pittman's your kind of possession receiver. Josh Downs is your slot receiver. You can be that separator underneath. And that's a lot really exciting because Anthony Richardson now is a big arm quarterback. He's going to be launching bombs to Brian Thomas Jr., which is that is his best skill set in terms of running the vertical route tree, you know, getting open deep, making tough contested catches deep down the field. That's going to be some fireworks in Indianapolis. So I think you continue to address the offense there around your young quarterback. If you're Indianapolis, get him another playmaker. That's the direction I'm going with at 15 with the Seattle Seahawks now at 16th overall, halfway through this first round. Who said, where are you going here? Because Seattle, I mean, they have a pretty glaring need in the interior offensive line. We'll see where this is going here. Who do you got?
I mean, yes, they have that glaring need along the interior, but looking at Mike McDonald, knowing the background that he comes from, I think we finally see our first interior defensive lineman off the board, and Byron Murphy to Seattle just makes way too much sense for me as a guy that can play either one tech or three tech.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
So Byron Murphy off the board now. So first defensive tackle now off the board, and now that gets me to the Raiders. Interesting fit for Seattle, I think, with Byron Murphy. I think that could make some sense. I know they've invested there, but I know Daquan Jones signing hasn't really worked out for them. I know they have Leonard Williams. But Murphy, I mean, at this point, he's the best defensive player on the board. So I think value-wise, that makes a lot of sense. All right, Raiders here. I think they got to address the offensive line if they can't get quarterback here. They got an extra second-round pick to work with in terms of maybe moving up to get a quarterback in the second round. So I think they're going to address the offensive line. And with that, they're going to get Taliese Fuanga out of Oregon State. He can play right tackle or right guard for them right away. I think Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, is going to love this guy in terms of his mobility, his ability to block on the move in the run game. He's good enough in pass protection, I think, early on to where he's not going to be a complete liability, whether he's at right guard or right tackle. And they just need to beef up that offensive line for whoever their quarterback's going to be, whether it's Gardner Minshew, whether it's a rookie, you know, whether it's AOC. But look, they just got to continue to look to build that team in Antonio Pierce's image, which is to be a tough physical team. Fuanga is one of the best run blockers in this year's draft class. I think he adds to that identity that he wants to build, being more physical up front. 18 to the Bears. You say, who do you got?
I mean, this is, yeah, this one is very tough, but I, you know, think the Bears ultimately go with a wide receiver here. I think we finally stop this kind of like, hey, let's just constantly keep trading down. I know A.D. Mitchell's on the board, but I think if we kind of keep scrolling down here and just look at some of the wide receivers that are going to be available, again, it's weird, right? Because this is not necessarily looking at the way this board is ranked right now. I mean, it's too early to go in and, you know, take a guy like a Ladd McConkey, for example, even though there was a point where people were like, oh, well, Ladd McConkey's for sure going to be a first-round pick. But I do ultimately think the Bears end up going with A.D. Mitchell from Texas. It just, you look at the way that this team has kind of drafted here, and yeah, you got Keenan Allen, you've got Caleb Williams, you've got DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. Let's add some more size to this offense by going out and getting that true big bodied X in Adonai Mitchell.
Yeah, I think if the Bears were to go wide receiver at this point in this draft, I think they do want to get that big bodied guy on the outside. I think A.D. Mitchell can do that, but he's a lot more fluid than a lot of other big body guys. So I think at this range, you know, A.D. Mitchell is a guy that I go back and forth on whether I actually like him as a first round prospect or not, because I think the tape, there is some promising stuff on the tape. You know, when it's all clicking for him, it looks really impressive. He looks like a guy who can be a bona fide number one star wide receiver, but the inconsistency for me and the production and some of the indicators kind of make me question that a little bit, right? So he's a tough evaluation for me. But I think if you're the Bears, you're projecting him out where he doesn't have to be the number one guy right away. He can develop alongside DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. So the Bears bypass drafting Roman Dunsey early on to get some extra draft capital, and they end up getting that wide receiver anyway later in the draft at 18. Very interesting stuff for the Bears here in terms of strategy. Bears fans got to let us know what we think about what we have the Bears doing for them here, because I think there's two reactions. Either you're a big fan of that, getting the extra draft picks, or you're like, you guys have no idea what you're doing here, having the Bears trade down that far for a wide receiver. What are we doing here at Picks for Polls? But all right, to the Rams here, what are they going to do? And there is a lot of talent on the board for the Rams to work with here. Oh, man. I mean, they have a need, I think, at cornerback. They have needs. You know, they could use a left tackle here. Troy Fontenot would be the pick at left tackle if they were going to go that route. I think that would make a lot of sense for them. I'm going to go cornerback here. I think it's too good of a value to pass up. And they do need to get some more explosiveness, some better athleticism in the cornerback room, some young guys that can develop. I know they – signed Tre'Davious White in free agency, but he's not a long-term solution. He's not a guy who I think is they probably don't view him as, you know, guy they can rely on because of his injury history. So I'm going to have them draft Kenyon Mitchell out of Toledo. I think this is a bit of a slide for Mitchell. I think you know, a lot of people are projecting to go very high in this draft, whether he might be the first, second, or third defensive player off the board, and he's a top cornerback for many people. I think he's a good fit for what the Rams want to do defensively, as kind of that – he's not a guy who pressed a lot at Toledo, but as an off-cover corner, I think he makes a lot of sense for the Rams here at 19. And I've gone a bunch of different directions for the Rams in previous mock drafts, whether it's getting a pass rusher, getting you know, a left tackle here to protect Matthew Stafford's blind side, but – I don't know. I feel like this is probably the best value for them at this spot. So I'm going to go with Kenyon Mitchell at 19. What are the Steelers doing at 20? You said.
Yeah, this is really weird for me here being in Mike Tomlin's shoes, because you kind of look at the way that they traded away Deontay Johnson. So you could really make the argument that maybe just had A.D. Mitchell been on the board, he would have made a hell of a lot of sense for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they, I feel like, are the exact fit for Oregon's interior offensive lineman, Jackson Powers Johnson. You know, since the Pouncey brothers left town, I mean, they pretty much have not had a solid center. Yes, they took Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle from Georgia last year. This year, I think they go back and they double down and they say, okay, we're going to go ahead and finally get someone who's going to be blocking for whoever the quarterback's going to be now and well into the future.
I like Jackson Powers Johnson for the Steelers. That just seems like a very Steelers-y pick, right? For him to be that guy there for that long-term center. And the Steelers, as we know, they only draft Hall of Fame centers in the first round. That's just what they do. Going all the way back to the days of Mike Webster. Number 21 overall to the Dolphins. I think this is a perfect board for them because they could address interior offensive line. You know, guys like Graham Barton, Trey Fontenot, you see him as a guard. But I think, you know, they lost Christian Wilkins in the offseason. They need to get that interior pass rusher, Johnny Newton, out of Illinois. He's the best player on the board in terms of defense, best pass rusher left on the board. I think he's an impact player from day one. He's the most polished defensive tackle in this year's draft. I know Byron Murphy, to me, has the most upside. He's my top defensive tackle. But Johnny Newton, I think, makes a lot of sense for the Dolphins here, replacing Christian Wilkins. And for the Eagles, you say, where do you have the Eagles going now?
I mean, listen, you're Howie Roseman, you're Jeffrey Lurie, you love your SEC guys, you seem to really love your Bama and your Georgia guys. Well, guess what? I think it's a no-brainer decision here. Terrion Arnold just seems like such a Philadelphia Eagles pick. Again, you're getting a really good corner. Long, lanky, solid ball skills, plays this physical brand of football. So I think it's Terrion Arnold there. I will say, though, as a backup plan, I mean, if Amarius Mims is there, we know Howie Roseman loves his Georgia guys, so I would not be surprised to see Mims be the pick in the real draft either.
Yeah, Mims has been my pick for the Eagles usually when I've been doing these first-round mocks, right? And I think that's a fun fit, getting that long-term solution for Lane Johnson. But now that gets me to the Chargers here at 23. I think Terrion Arnold makes a lot of sense for the Eagles as well, I should say. For the Chargers, what am I going to have them do? I think there's a variety of different directions for them to go here. You know, there isn't really a wide receiver that I love in terms of the value here for the Chargers. I think they can still get a guy on day two. With that said, I mean, some of the value here is not great at other positions. You know what? Cornerback is kind of a sneaky need for this team. And, you know, outside of Asante Samuel Jr., they don't really have a cornerback on the roster that I think is going to be an impact guy. I know they want to have a better defense here in L.A. with Harbaugh. So I'm going to go with Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. He's kind of an undersized corner. He's got some injury concerns, but he is probably one of the best man-to-man corners in this year's draft. He's one of the best, if not the best, pure cover corner in this year's draft. And he's a guy that is just a playmaker in the back end. So I think Nate Wiggins makes a lot of sense for the Chargers at this spot, given how the board is right now. Now we go to the Cowboys. What we got for the Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys are this really interesting brand here because I ultimately look at them and I kind of say, okay, you know, what is the direction you're trying to go in, you know? And then you look again, you look at the offseason and you kind of say, okay, you know, they lost Tyron Smith, so offensive tackle certainly makes sense. They lost Tyler Biadasz. He certainly makes sense. They lost a lot in the interior with guys like Neville Gallimore, Jonathan Hankins, as well as, you know, Leighton Vander Esch going ahead and retiring. I think they ultimately go with Amarius Mims from Georgia, finally kind of getting that offensive tackle that is going to continue the pipeline of pretty solid O-linemen that they've had there in Dallas.
Yeah, I think Amarius Mims makes a lot of sense for the Cowboys. I think he can be a developmental right tackle or a left tackle for you here. I think that makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense, in my opinion. For the Packers, our beloved Packers, I guess not, but Packers here, what do I have them doing? you know, offensive line could be a you know, a pick they go with here. I think Fontenot and Barton would both be fantastic picks for that. Like Fontenot in particular is a incredible value for the Packers if they want to continue to address that left tackle position. You know, Rasheed Walker was solid for them last year, but I don't know if they view him as a long-term piece there. But Cooper DeJean's staring at me on the board here, and I think he's the perfect fit for that secondary that they're trying to revamp. Man, this is tough. The thing with the Packers is that they're so good developing offensive linemen on day two and day three that I almost think that they're going to, you know, bypass getting an offensive lineman here and get the defensive player, and that's what I think they're going to do. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, you know, he just makes all – he can do a variety of different things for you in the secondary. I think he is a fantastic, you know, versatile player, fantastic football IQ, you know, a great athlete in terms of, you know, all the variety of ways that he can contribute. You know, he was a returner for Iowa as well. He can play safety. He can play slot corner. I think his best role might be to play – that kind of slot corner, big slot star position, because he's a physical tackler. He's a very smart zone corner, very, very good ball skills. So Cooper DeJean, you just find a spot for him that secondary. I think he's going to work out. So for the Packers, that's what I'm doing at 26 or 25, I should say.
Yeah, and now you move on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And again, there's really no telling which way a guy like Todd Bowles could potentially lean. Again, I think Jason Light, the general manager there, is sort of just in that weird spot in terms of, hey, you know, we brought back Baker Mayfield. We brought back Mike Evans. What do we really need on the defensive side of the ball? What do we really need on offense? I do think Kool-Aid McKinstry is the pick here for the Buccaneers, just adding kind of another new face to the secondary, because they've had a lot of turnover in that part of the defense the last few years.
Yeah, Kula would be a fun fit for the Buccaneers, I think. A smart, very smart corner, high football IQ, you know, didn't necessarily test as like a high-end athlete, but I think he's more than good enough of an athlete. I think he'd be a really nice fit for Todd Bowles' scheme if they can't get a pass rusher here. Now that he's with the Cardinals here at 27 overall, man, I'm looking at this here. I'm going to trade down if I'm the Cardinals. I think there's a lot of value left on the board. I think they want to address the defense because their defensive talent is one of the worst in the NFL. I think they can get some, you know, some draft capital to kind of, you know, boost this roster here. And the team I have moving up is going to be the Washington Commanders, who, if I'm going to address the chart here, going from 36 to 27, and they're going to be coming up to get an offensive lineman. So 680, go down 540, so about 120. Give or take here, we're going to go with 100. And then we'll do a future 4th-round pick to kind of even things out here. But I have the Commanders moving up, the Cardinals, and the pick for them is going to be Troy Fontenot. Washington desperately needs to get a left tackle in here. They cut Charles Leno in the offseason. Their offensive line in general is just not very good whatsoever. And that's a unit they need to rebuild from the ground up. Fontenot, he has the opportunity right away. If he falls this far in the draft, which is hard to fathom, you know, it was tough to really find a fit for him at some spots here. But if Fontenot falls this far, I think Washington is going to jump at the chance to come up and get him here. And like I said, for the Cardinals, they have a ton of needs. They got the number one wide receiver, moved down a little bit. You know, there's still a ton of players, quality players, they're going to get at the top of the second round, I think. So if you're the Washington Commanders, come up, get that left tackle to develop. I think that makes a lot of sense for them here. That brings us to number 28 with the Bills. What's going to happen with the Bills here, you said?
See, this is so tough, but I think with the departure of Stephon Diggs, and again, the Bills really went ahead and decided we need to kind of reset the offense this year. They've got Khalil Shakir there. They've lost, you know, guys like Gabe Davis. I mean, I ultimately think they do go with wide receiver. It's just a matter of, you know, who's on the board, right? Who exactly is left? So if you kind of keep looking, like our board right now, we've got Tony Franklin and Ladd McConkey there kind of as two guys to keep an eye on. You continue to, you know, look at it. I mean, Keon Coleman, Roman Wilson, I don't necessarily think that they're first round picks, but I think ultimately what happens is this is they look at this and say, hey, let's take a chance on Tony Franklin. Let's kind of get Josh Allen a new weapon that can do a lot of things similar to what Stephon Diggs was doing.
Yeah, Tony Franklin is a very interesting player. He's the stock on him is kind of up and down all over the place. But I could see, you know, the Bills want to get that deep threat on the outside. Tony Franklin makes a lot of sense, I think, in terms of filling that skill set. That moves us on to number 29 with the Detroit Lions here. I think there are a variety of different directions they can go. They could address wide receiver again if they really wanted to. Edge is a spot they could address, you know. I see Chop Robinson on the board, and I'd be very intrigued to kind of add him to that pass rush. When you look at, you know, they need a true guy off the edge that can, you know, win with speed. They got some power guys on the defensive line that they could add as well. But I also, like, I'm not sure, you know, the Lions, they've been aggressive with making a lot of trades. They might look to trade down here if an opportunity presents itself. But who that trade partner will be, I don't necessarily know. So for now, I'm going to stick with it right here. I'm going to take Chop Robinson for the Lions, address that pass rush, get him a true electric speed guy with that elite first step that Chop Robinson has. You know, I know they have James Houston on the roster, but he's a sixth round pick. He's a situational player. I think Chop Robinson can do a little bit more for you. I think he has a little bit more upside. I think he has way more upside than James Houston as that kind of speed rusher off the edge. I think he's a perfect complement to what they have in Aiden Hutchinson. And, yeah, the Lions continue to add high-end athleticism to this roster with Chop Robinson at 29.
I could certainly see Chop Robinson going there. I think now you look at 30th overall with the Ravens, and, you know, part of me says, okay, they could totally trade out here of the 30th overall pick. But part of me also says that, with some of the guys that are left on the board, it would not surprise me to see them stay put. And I really think that Ladd McConkey makes so much sense for this Ravens team in terms of the dynamic slot receiver that he is, you know, just how smoothly he operates, gets in and out of his breaks, the type of route runner he is, and just the kind of great athlete that he is as well. So I think they're going to go with Ladd McConkey if you're Baltimore sitting there at 30.
Yeah, continue to add playmakers for Lamar Jackson, right? They drafted Zay Flowers in the first round last year. Why not add another first round receiver in Ladd McConkey there? Now that brings me on to the San Francisco 49ers. And to me, this is a no-brainer. They need to get offensive line help. You know, protect Brock Purdy. Like, that's probably the one weakness for this 49ers offense. If there is a weakness, is that they just don't really have a ton of outside of, you know, Trent Williams at left tackle, the offensive line, the rest of it is kind of subpar, if you ask me. Graham Barton makes a lot of sense as a long-term fit. He can play center or guard for you, any one of those three interior positions. He's a phenomenal athlete at the position. Really technically sound. He played left tackle for Duke because he had to, but to me, he's a better fit inside, where I think he's going to be a great fit for what Shanahan wants to do in the outside zone, wide zone blocking scheme there. To me, he just makes a lot of sense. And now we're on to the last pick here. You said the last pick in the draft to the Kansas City Chiefs, the Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chiefs, for the last pick of this first round. What do you have being the pick here?
I mean, listen, had Ladd McConkey been on the board, I do think it would have been Ladd McConkey for them. But I'm going to go ahead and say this, is that it's going to be Mike Sanstro from Michigan. You look at them, they traded L'Jarius Sneed away to Tennessee just a few weeks ago. And so they say, hey, we're going to go back to our friends over at Michigan, and we're going to go ahead and find his replacement.
Yeah, Mike Sanstro, he's a guy that a lot of people are talking about is sneaking the first round as the top slot corner in this year's draft. Very interesting for him to be the option here for the Chiefs. But like you said, they did trade away, L'Jarius Sneed, their star corner. So it makes sense to kind of replenish that secondary a little bit and get a young guy in there to develop. Oh, boy. Well, this was something, you said. I mean, there is just – I don't think this is probably going to work out the way it does here, but I think this is a very interesting scenario here that we went through. So just to recap it here, quarterbacks in the top three picks with Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. Marvin Harrison, the Cardinals staying at number four and taking the best player on the board. We had the big trade-up with the Vikings going to number five with the Chargers and J.J. McCarthy being the pick there. You got Malik Nabers going to number six to New York Giants. Number seven, Joe Alt to the Tennessee Titans. Dallas Turner to number eight for the Falcons. I think all this is pretty standard stuff. But number nine, I think, is where we really started throwing curveballs in here in this mock draft. We had the trade up with the Saints getting Olufoshana with the Bears. Brock Bowers going to the Jets at 10. The Chargers, after trading down, getting J.C. Latham, tackle out of Alabama. Number 12, the Broncos addressing pass rusher with Jared Verse. Number 13 overall, Roma Dunze stops the slide. The Jacksonville Jaguars move up to get Roma Dunze here with the Las Vegas Raiders. Number 14, the Bengals, another trade coming up to get Lyle Tulatu. The Bears trading down twice. Number 15, Brian Thomas Jr.'s pick for the Colts, getting that wide receiver to work with Anthony Richardson. Number 16 overall, the Seattle Seahawks add more interior pass rush help with Byron Murphy. Number 17, Talia Sifuanga is the pick for the Raiders, addressing the offensive line. Number 18, after trading down twice in the draft, the Bears finally address a wide receiver, Adonai Mitchell, out of Texas. Number 19, the Los Angeles Rams stay put and take cornerback Kenyon Mitchell out of Toledo, the top cornerback, first cornerback off the board. Number 20, the Steelers take the first center off the board with Jackson Powers Johnson, addressing their need there. 21, the Dolphins take Johnny Newton out of Illinois. So both first-round defensive tackles now off the board. Number 22, the Eagles, after having one of the most embarrassing secondaries in the NFL, get some more much-needed depth and youth to that secondary, and Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. Number 23 overall, the Los Angeles Chargers go cornerback as well, getting Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. Number 24 overall, Dallas Cowboys getting some tackle help with Amarius Mims out of Georgia, a high upside player to develop there. Number 25 overall, the Green Bay Packers get Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, versatile secondary piece for them. Number 26, Kool-Aid McKinstry, another cornerback here for out of Alabama for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 27, our last trade of the mock draft, Washington Commanders coming up with the Arizona Cardinals to get Troy Fontenot, who stops his slide out of Washington at 27th overall. 20th overall, the Buffalo Bills get their Stephon Diggs replacement in the way, and Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon. 29th overall, the Lions, add another pass rusher and Chop Robinson off the edge out of Penn State. 30th, the Ravens continue to add weapons for Lamar Jackson, getting Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. 31st overall, the 49ers getting an interior offensive line piece and Grant Barton out of Duke. And number 32 overall, the Kansas City Chiefs taking slot corner Mike Sanstro out of Michigan. That was a ton of fun, you said. Really a lot to digest there, but all I can say is just, for all of our listeners out there, let us know what you guys think about our mock draft here. For those watching this on YouTube as well, which I'm sure we're going to post this to there as well, give us your thoughts in the comments section. If you're a fan of our content here at Picks for Pulls and the Bear Report, make sure to like, rate, and subscribe wherever you get our content, whether it's on Spotify, whether it's wherever you get your podcast, whether it's on YouTube, on the Bear Report YouTube channel. Make sure to follow us on social media at Picks for Polls. You said, where can our listeners find you and find your work?
Yeah, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at Usaid Koshal. That's my social medias are at Usaid Koshal. That's Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. Going to have all sorts of NFL draft content coming out the next couple weeks, for the next week, I should say. But, you know, I've got a 10 teams that could trade up to ninth overall article dropping on Tuesday, the 23rd. And then Monday, the 22nd, you know, we've got a Bear Report roundtable article dropping where all the writers got together and kind of previewed the Bears 2024 draft. So be sure to check all that out.
Yeah, a lot of stuff on the Bear Report website coming up over the next week or so heading into the draft. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at AJFreeman25. You can find my work on the Bear Report as well. As for this podcast, we're going to release this early in the week, either on Monday or Tuesday. You should be getting this early in the week. This should be dropping on YouTube as well pretty early in the week to digest this. We are planning on doing one more episode, giving you guys our draft preview. Probably recording that on Tuesday. Going to be releasing that on Wednesday or Thursday, depending on when we're able to get in and record that. But going to be giving you guys our thoughts heading into the draft on Thursday. And then as for draft week, I mean, still finalizing some details there, but we have some stuff plans for draft week as for the draft as well this upcoming weekend. So stay tuned to follow us through this. It's been a wild ride getting to this point, but we're almost there, guys. Almost there, draft fans. Almost there, Bears fans. Just a few more days away. Until that time, Bears fans, have yourself a great rest of your week here. Stay safe. Stay ready. You know, don't let the anticipation kill you for this draft. But until next time, have yourself a great rest of your time and bear down as always.